most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem, the palms of their hands, gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into this holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King. And when he comes again, they go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts, and follow him the way that leads to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you the King of Israel." And Jesus sat up, the young donkey, and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your King is coming, sitting on a donkey's foal." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. Crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth in peace.
Thank you.
pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I have set you prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have the hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore the devil to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Old Testament reading, or the reading, is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this attitude in yourselves, which you also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." Hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Calling him to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you. name of Jesus. Amen. George Washington gave two great gifts to this fledgling nation. The first, of course, was victory in the American Revolution. The second great gift was his retirement as president after his second term. When he was announcing that, his farewell address went this way. He said, "Not unconscious of the inferiority of my qualifications, experience in my own eyes, perhaps still more in the eyes of others, has strengthened the motives to diffidence to myself." In other words, he doesn't think highly of himself. "And every day, the increasing weight of years admonishes me more and more that the shade of retirement is as necessary to me as it will be welcome. I have the consolation to believe that while choice and prudence invite me to quit the political scene, patriotism does not forbid it." King George III of England, when he heard this, was dumbfounded and said of Washington that he's the greatest character of the age, because George Washington turned much of human history on its head because he gave up power willingly to seek a peaceful transition from one president to the other. Washington could have tried to be a dictator, could have tried to be a king. Instead, he showed himself to be a servant to the nation and a preeminent patriot. He led a revolution, and he had revolutionary values, not simply values of the revolution, but values out of step with the vast history of the world. And it is revolutionary values, it has been said, that Jesus is giving us in today's gospel reading. Be people empowered, shaped by the revolutionary values of Jesus. Our text this morning, we continue on with Mark chapter 10. Remember that this is Act 2 in the Gospel of Mark, so that Jesus in this section from the end of 8 to the end of 10, he's traveling to Jerusalem for the final time. And in these chapters, Jesus gives the prediction of his death and resurrection three times. And it's a cycle, so that each time he gives his prediction. And then there's confusion on the part of the apostles about what life is like as a disciple of Jesus. And then Jesus gives correction. And so today, we're going to finish up the gospel reading. We're going to look at, in order, that confusion on the part of the apostles, especially in this case, James and John. And then we're also going to see that correction that Jesus gives in that order. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, for calling your people together, enlightening with your gifts, and sending your grace upon us in Jesus Christ. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning. Amen. So if you'd be so kind, turn to your gospel reading in the bulletin or in your Bible. And look down to verse 35 of the gospel reading. And let's go ahead and read that together. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Well, that's kind of bold. James and John, by the way, they seem to be in the inner circle of Jesus. You know, and as Jesus gave Simon a special name and called him Peter, right? So Jesus gave James and John, these two brothers, a special name. He called them sons of thunder. And they seem to be in that inner circle of Jesus. So that if you read the list of the apostles in the Gospels, the James and John are listed right after Peter or right after Peter and Andrew. And when it came to, for instance, things like the Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John alone that went with Jesus up to the mountain. And so, is this what is giving them the boldness? And perhaps boldness isn't the right word for what they're asking. But is this what is giving them the boldness to ask what they ask of Jesus? Now, those of you who know the Gospels know that their mother was also involved with this. Matthew brings that out. But like other ancient writers, Mark just gives the details that he wants to give. But they have a question for Jesus. And if you look at the question, the intent behind the question is this: Jesus, give us my will, our will. Give us our will. So it's not our will, or it's not thy will be done, it's our will be done. And folks, that's where a lot of people are who go to church. When we like Jesus, when we come and worship Jesus, we trust Jesus, but sometimes it's Jesus, our will be done, not thy will be done. You know, what does that look like in your life? How often has it been for you, I like Jesus, but please do my will? Now, going on in verse 37, again, we're still looking at the confusion of the apostles. It says this, let's read it together. They said to him, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. And then this is the heart of the confusion, because they're out of sync what is happening and being said by Jesus. And as someone has said, they have this selective hearing. Right? Because there is glory coming, and Jesus has spoken about the glory. On this very same trip, Jesus told them that he's going to come again in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. John understood the glory. He writes about it in the book of Revelation, where God, Jesus, comes in his second advent and strikes down the nations and rules them with a rod of iron. But they're out of sync, because what is Jesus talking about here? What is the main theme? It is, look, I'm going to be betrayed to the hands of the leaders, the religious leaders, the chief priests, and then they will hand me over to the Gentiles, that is, to the Roman authorities. The other problem that the apostles have here, the other confusion is this: they're not considering the cost either. And Jesus points that out in verse 38. Let's look at that. We read, but Jesus said to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? You don't know. You have no idea what you're asking for. You know, they're so focused on the glory that they're missing that there's something that happens before glory. The pain comes before glory. That's a general principle in life. You want to get good grades? There's going to be pain first, because you're going to have to be studying. You want a successful business? There's pain first, because of the time and the effort that you put into it. Do you want to see the glory of God? There's going to be pain first. There was for Jesus. There is for us. They're not considering the cost. And so Jesus asked them, are you able to drink the cup and have the baptism that I will have? Which is not talking about the sacraments here, the Lord's Supper baptism. It is the suffering of Jesus. Are you able to drink down the suffering to the very last drop that I am going to drink? Are you going to be overwhelmed? Are you going to be immersed and put under the suffering that I am going to endure? This is talking about his suffering. It's very clear when you get to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying just before his arrest, and he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will be done, but thy will be done. So here, this cup, namely the trials, the beatings, the scourging, the crucifixion for your sins, Jesus lays out the pattern for every believer. Oh, by the way, this is one of the values that we value: God's will first. We value God's will first. This is not the way the world leads us. The world says, be your own person. You don't need anybody else. If you're a guy, you don't need a woman. If you're a woman, you don't need a guy. And none of you need God. Be the one who follows the values of Jesus, which is God's will first. God's will then doesn't become something foreign that's imposed upon us, but it becomes something that's part of us, something that we seek. By the way, when Jesus does mention cup and baptism, it's the most natural for us to think about the sacraments. And in a way, when we take the cup in the Lord's Supper, we absolutely are having fellowship with Jesus in his suffering. Not that he's suffering again in the sacrament, but we are drinking down the chalice of the cross. What did Jesus say? Given and shed for you. It's given in the Lord's Supper. It's given on the cross. Shed for you. It was shed for you on the cross. You are receiving the cross. You are receiving in faith, not through an empty ritual. You are receiving in faith the benefits of the cross of Jesus. Same thing in baptism. We are given the benefits of the death and the resurrection of Christ in faith, not an empty ritual. It is a sacrament. It is God coming to us with the gospel of the crucified and risen Savior. As Paul said, those of you who have been baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus in Romans chapter 6. And those of you, all of you, who partake of the cup of Jesus, literal cup, and the baptism of Jesus, you also will partake in suffering with Jesus, though likely small in our country. But you will partake in some sort of suffering, and you will partake of the glory that is coming. Now, moving on from that confusion on the part of the apostles, especially James and John, looking out for this greatness, right and left hand, places of power and authority, we move on to then the correction. And we start in verse 41 with the reaction of the other apostles. Let's go ahead and read that together. Verse 41. Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. Of course they feel indignant. Because they've all been vying and competing and wrestling for position. On this trip, by the way. Because just a little bit earlier in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 9, verse 33... it says, they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he began to question them, the apostles. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, because they're ashamed, right? Have you ever had that happen to you before? Your mom and dad or somebody asks you a question, and it's kind of like, I don't want to answer this. They kept silent. Because they were discussing with one another which of them was the greatest. Jesus then in this section gives them revolutionary values. Values that are opposite that of the world. And he's teaching them not only about what kind of Messiah he is, but he's also teaching them what kind of disciples they should be. And I think this is important. You know, don't try to figure out who this is because it's not a member of the church, okay? Hey, I say that, but I don't want you to think it's a member of the church. This is years ago. Years ago. Because sometimes I run into and I minister to people in the community. So years ago, I'm going over to somebody's house. Someone is nearing and approaching, getting closer to death. And then after I leave her room and am leaving the house, the husband is there. Nice guy, but doesn't have a lot of spiritual and emotional resources. And so they have that little dog. Yapping, yapping, yapping. And is so excited. The dog is just going crazy around my feet. And the husband takes his pistol, his handgun, and he starts waving and threatening the dog. Calm down! Which, would you say that is a rational response? No, it's crazy. Now, if you've done that, let's talk after the service. But not only is that doing any good, not only does that not make sense, that was my feet down there too. It's like, no, it's okay. I like dogs. What's the point? It makes just as much sense to do that than to come and worship Jesus who you like, but then to purposely live contrary to the values of Jesus. Now, we're all affected. Okay, we're all affected by our culture, for good or for bad. We're all affected. And the more that we're affected by our culture, the more we follow the cultural values, the less we will follow Jesus, and one day we will leave Jesus altogether. Except we'll say, I just didn't believe in the Jesus they preached in church. I believe in this Jesus. You know, the one I made up. The one that suits me. The one who obeyed my will. To worship Jesus and to purposely live in values contrary to Jesus makes as much sense as what that guy was doing at his home. So we're in the correction phase here. And in here, we're going to learn something about authority. We're going to learn something about the path of greatness in the kingdom. And we're going to learn about the pattern of our servanthood. And so, looking at authority first, let's read together verse 42. Alright? Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them." Alright, so he's calling the apostles because there's a lot of other people around. He's calling the apostles to the side and teaching them sort of what he's already taught them the first two prediction cycles. And note here that Jesus is not denying authority. The issue is, what kind of authority? Right? How are you exercising that authority? Because Jesus is king. And by his authority, he is calling you, listen, he is calling you and me, he is calling us to revolutionary values. And if we choose worldliness, then we're going to be, as Jesus said, like salt that has lost its saltiness. We're going to have a bland flavor because we will taste like the world when we follow worldly values, worldly thinking, and worldly acting. Jesus, your king, understand this. You have a king. Jesus, your king, is calling you to obedience. He is calling you to exercise what he is instructing. Publius Vettius Pollio. Tragic last name. He was a Roman citizen of the 1st century B.C., matter of fact, you can go to Italy today and see some of the fantastic grotto that he had built. He became infamous among the Romans. You see, one day, Caesar Augustus, a friend of his, was visiting. I'm sure they did it on many occasions. Pollio had then this banquet, and one of his slaves broke a crystal vessel. And Pollio was so upset about it that he was going to have his slave thrown into a pool of moray eels. You know, the translation is a little different. You know, they think it's moray eels. To kill him, as he had done other slaves as well. And when Caesar Augustus hears about this, he's upset. And the story goes, he frees the slaves, he orders that the pool be filled in, and then he makes sure, he gives orders that every crystal dish in his villa is destroyed. The issue was the authority that was exercised by Publius Vettius Pollio. And Jesus is saying, you apostles, you're not to pattern yourself after the Gentiles, after these Romans who are ruling us. And this type of unchristian authority for a disciple of Jesus, this selfish, arbitrary, self-serving, self-seeking, I am being served as the goal, I am not serving. And that has broad application for us in our life as Christians, because obviously it applies to the church, but it goes beyond that. It also applies to parents, to bosses, in the military, to a husband. It applies to the exercise of personal authority over ourselves. It applies, maybe not in the same way, but it applies to all of life where authority is exercised. Even in the military, back in December, here I am with a bunch of other soldiers hearing a presentation by a 3-star general. And what's one of the main things he talks about in the military? That's NEMO, servant leadership. The authority of Jesus. Let's move on to the path to greatness in his kingdom. Verse 43, let's read that together. But it is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. So, you've maybe heard it, the way up is the way down. The way of greatness in the kingdom of God is servanthood, an authority exercised with a servant attitude, so that we value this, that we serve others, that we reject seeking after, because this is what the apostles are doing. We reject seeking after personal greatness for the goal of the fruit of living with Jesus. Here, let's take a break. Take this time to pray for John, okay?
John, are you okay? Yeah. Your sinuses are getting you? Yeah.
John, can we get you in the wheelchair?
No, I'm fine.
I'm not sure you are. I'm going to be honest with you. Kind of scared me for a minute. Yeah. Do you know what day it is?
Yeah. okay? You mind watching?
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Pastor Dave, this is what you get for going on and on. Well, the path to greatness is that we reject personal greatness as a goal. And we achieve it only as a fruit of living Jesus values. Don't seek to be great in the world, to make a name for yourself. Seek to follow Jesus and let the name come as it may. The last is the pattern of Jesus in verse 45. Let's read that together. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And this is the pattern that Jesus sets before the apostles and us. Our values are shaped by the ministry of Jesus, by his own servanthood, not merely or not only because he is king. Jesus, second person of the Trinity, true God, who will reign upon the earth with absolute authority, served. And why did he serve? Why do we serve, rather, in the church or anywhere else? Because Jesus served us. And this is very important. Not only does Jesus give us a pattern here, but he gives us a reason for his death there in the verse. One, Jesus goes willingly. Nobody is taking Jesus' life. He gives it for you. And secondly, Jesus gives it as a ransom. A ransom back in the day was a price that was paid to free a slave or, say, free a captive of war. Ransom is the cost to be set free from prison, from slavery, from some other event like that. And it is also the cost to be freed from judgment. And so, in Psalm 49, God says this about anybody who wants to pay the cost to be free from his judgment. No man can by any means redeem his brother. They can't ransom him. Or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. Cease from trying to redeem your own soul. Cease from trying to ransom yourself. Because you can't do it. Only God can do it. And this is what Jesus has done for you. He's given himself to be the payment to set you free from the judgment that each of you and indeed the pastor deserves. It is a free gift. And it is something that only God can do. Only Jesus can pay the price. And he did. And in that way, not only does he deliver us from judgment, but he makes us heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And he sets the pattern for us as well. The pattern of our service comes from he who served us first. I invite you to stand for just remain seated and let's sing the creed, okay? Let us pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. You have come. We have come before you in sincere worship and with skillful playing of the organ, for you are great and greatly to be praised. We give thanks for all your benefits to us with music, with our singing and our prayers, and through our life. We give ourselves to your service, for you have first given your Son to us. Lord, in your mercy. O Father in heaven, what can a person give in exchange for his soul? We certainly can't pay the price to set a person free from the judgment of the law, let alone ourselves. Only Christ can do that. We thank you that you sent your Son to be the ransom price to set us free and make us heirs of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, set us free also from worldliness and worldly thinking. Shape us to your will. Help us value what you value. Forgive us whenever we have disregarded what you would have us uphold, defend, and cherish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, grant your help to our youth group and our Sunday school. May these ministries become a blessing to more and more children. Sustain our youth, that they would never be led away from the church by the pleasures of this world. Give them a thirst for your word and worship with all your saints, and make them mighty men and women of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of hosts, you come to deliver your people from evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world and grant them peace. Help them in every trial, sickness, and cross. Especially we pray for our brother John now this Sunday as he's feeling ill. But also we pray for the family of Jerry Gray, who has passed away. And for those struggling with sickness, Mary, Greg, Cole, Mark, Bill, Kathy Green, Davis, Deb, and Glenn. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayer of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This time we'll have the presentation of the offering. Let us stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God. For even before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you had ordained for us a Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we should be holy and blameless before him and through him. You redeemed not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Lord's Supper, which is your Son's pledge to us of our redemption, wherein we are fed with the bread of life. Grant that this sacrament be for us a beneficial meal through faith in your Son, as we receive the body and blood of Christ, and with another the bread and the wine. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Thank you.
that you have refreshed us through this dietary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Let me know or leave, and that'll work fine. I think that will do it for our announcements, other than welcoming our greeters for this morning. Corey?
I was wondering.
So when we got Dr. Dottenheim in the ambulance, he seemed better, like he was more conscious, as some of y'all saw. But they were taking him out to the hospital, like I said, they wanted to go to the hospital at the lake, so... that's where they're at right now. They were doing a full neuro exam. He passed the stroke exam that the lady on the phone had me do. So he seems to have regained some of his consciousness back after his episode. But just keep it in your prayers because they seem fine now, but we don't know what else caused it, and they're intimate to be anything that they knew at the time. So.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of you checking up on it. Okay. Yeah, worrisome. Pastor John is...
He's really blessed this place. So, come in peace.